The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, when I was in high school and college, I lived in Albuquerque. And in Albuquerque, there are tons of these huge Protestant megachurches everywhere. Everywhere you go, you see these huge Protestant megachurches. And when I was in high school and in college, I fell in with a crowd of one of them, called Evangel Christian. And this particular one, in fact, even ran their own TV station right out of their own church. And I ended up doing a lot of work with these guys as I was growing up. I was good friends with them and was involved in so many ways. I would lead and teach Bible studies for them. I would be involved in their praise and worship, whether it be singing on my own or playing the guitar from time to time. I was even involved in filming things and acting out humorous and silly skits that we'd do just for the youth group to have some entertainment and to get a message across. The church leaders, understandably, were a little weary of me because they knew I was Catholic. But the people in general, they actually really liked me because I gave a different perspective, something they'd never heard before. They knew nothing about Catholicism and the way Scripture and things of the faith were traditionally understood. And so they were all attention on what I had to say. Now as a priest, as I reflect on a lot of those experiences that I had with those Protestant megachurches, I'm able to think about, you know, what those things are, to ask that question, what is it that they do really, really well that we as Catholics don't do really well? When it comes down to it, the answer is actually pretty simple. What they do really, really well is that they lead quickly. They quickly lead people really quickly into an actual encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, that's supposed to be the task of our parents. And not to point fingers on our parents that you're messing this up in some sort of way. That's not the point. That's not what I'm trying to do right here. For most of us, many of us parents, we don't feel that we're actually qualified to be able to do that. I feel like we're lacking something in that, and we can't just do it because we haven't studied as long as Father has. We don't feel that we can actually do that for our kids. That's why Deacon and I spend so much time during our baptismal preparation class for parents and for godparents. Why we spend so much time of that homily within the baptismal rite itself, focusing upon asking those parents, do you really understand what it is that you're undertaking? Are you really prepared to be able to train your children in the practice of the faith? We focus a lot on that. It's not something that should be intimidating to parents, though. Because really all that we're asking, really all that the church is asking of parents is to simply say, parents, it's your duty to introduce your children to the very person of Jesus Christ. To know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him in this life, so that you can be happy and joy-filled with Him in the life which is to come in heaven. You see, these Protestant megachurches, they do that really well because their first and primary main goal is, as soon as they encounter anybody, is to be incredibly welcome to them, greet them with a smile, to welcome them in and usher them into what's going on. They offer all sorts of programs for them to get involved in the people, and they're very interested in what happens in the life of everyone who enters into their doors, what happens in their day-to-day life, not just what happens on Sundays. These are things that we as Catholics struggle with greatly. No, Mass, the whole of our Catholic faith in general, in fact, they're not things which are really that intuitive. If you and I are going to understand what happens at Mass or happens in various aspects of the faith, it presupposes that you and I know a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. It presupposes that you and I understand liturgy, meaning public worship, things that go on. Really what it's talking about, you got to understand what happens here in the sanctuary. It means that you need to understand what happened before Catholicism came about with the ancient Israelites and the way in which they worshiped. Questions like, why is it that we have candles? Why is it that we have this procession for the gospel that we had with these great young men? Why it is that we have a crucifix instead of just a cross? Why is it that we wear beautiful vestments or have incense? What are the reasons why we genuflect? At certain times we stand, we sit, and we kneel. Why do we do those things? Just to ask a few of those questions that we need to understand as Catholics. In John chapter 6, which we've been going through for the past 4 weeks, In John chapter 6, just as in the Mass in general, what it does is it presupposes that we know a lot of stuff if we're going to understand what's going on there. Jesus, when he's giving these beautiful teachings in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John, presupposes that his audience knows three things. That they really understand the Exodus, that they really understand the Passover, and that they really understand what manna is. He presupposes those things. And to the degree to which you and I don't understand these things, that you and I don't understand what manna is, what the Passover is, or what the Exodus was all about, to the degree to which we don't understand those things, brothers and sisters, then we don't have a clue what Jesus is talking about. Let's get back to those mega churches. You know, those mega churches, when you gather in there, you really don't need to know anything. You just walk off a street and waltz into their place, and you got it, you get it. Because what they do, they don't have any liturgy. They don't have any rituals or rites. All they do is proclaim the gospel and then engage in some worship, singing some songs. That's it. But the thing is that for most people, eventually, they want something more. They're looking for something deeper than that. And the more that people are looking for isn't just better preaching. It's really important to preach well. But it's not better preaching that they're looking for. No priest, no minister of any kind, it doesn't matter where it is that they work, preaching shouldn't be their main thing that they're focused on. I just want to outdo myself from last week. That's a bad attitude to have, because what it does is it puts all the focus on them. Turns them into some superhuman being and draws everybody's attention to them as though it were some sort of cult. We can't be focused on those things. The purpose is to focus only on Jesus Christ, not on the minister. In fact, we priests, we fail badly, often. We're not perfect. The more that people are looking for isn't just for livelier music. Thanks be to God, we have the Gonzaleses today to lead us in some beautiful music, just like we have with all of our choirs. Music is super important, but the purpose of music during Mass, during worship, is really just to open up the soul so that God can enter in, so that God can be present and plant His own messages within our lives in a heart that's able to receive Him, because we prepared ourselves through beautiful music, through song, through the words which we say. But the purpose of us getting together isn't just to sing songs. The more that everybody's looking for isn't just for more entertainment. It's not about dry ice or about laser lights or a sound and light show or smoke machines. It's not about Hollywood quality videos that they show each and every week. The more isn't for more stuff. It's not for more entertainment. It's not about even getting more inspiration. The more that people are really seeking and looking for is simply, they want Jesus Christ. They want Him. And finally, brothers and sisters, that's where Catholicism really shines. Catholicism really shines when the desire is for Jesus Christ. Because the longing that you have, the longing that I have, isn't just to be entertained. It's not to be inspired. It's not to just get more and more information. You see, the longing of every human heart is to meet God, to encounter Him, to see Him. And this is the scandalous claim that the Catholic Church has. It's that here, in this place, in fact, on this altar, that you and I get to meet God like nowhere else in the world. Concretely, physically, in a sacramental way, you and I actually get to touch God. And He, in fact, touches us. Jesus Christ gives Himself to us as flesh to eat, as nourishment for our bodies and for our souls. And either, brothers and sisters, that is the truest and most amazing, incredible thing in the world, or it's the most ridiculous and blasphemous thing on earth. One or the other. It can't be both. There is no middle ground. It's one or the other. In the gospel that Deacon Marvin proclaimed for us today, what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying this. He's turning to us and He's saying that the bread that I will give is My flesh for the life of the world. To which the people respond, Jesus, you must be nuts. You're crazy. And note what Jesus doesn't do. Jesus doesn't turn to him and say, hey, wait a second, you guys are misunderstanding me. Let me correct the record. He doesn't say that. What he does is he doubles down. He uses the words, he says, amen, amen, which is biblical code word for, listen up, I've got something to say. Jesus doubles down on this and he says, amen, amen, I say to you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Which means that you're just going through life existing. You're not having the abundant life that I desire to give you and that you need to make it through. He continues on and he says what? He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, because my flesh is true food and my blood, it's true drink. You see, at the very end of the sermon, which we're going to get to tomorrow, we're going to get to rather next week, at the very end of Jesus' sermon here in John chapter 6, he just points to himself. And when he points to himself, he turns to everybody and he says, this is the bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats this flesh, this bread, will live forever. So what? So why is it that you and I don't experience this life transformative gift always when we come to Mass? Why? Well, I think the reason is really twofold. There are two reasons why we don't experience it that way. The first reason is because of our attitudes. It's because of our disposition, our focus, our attention. You see, the sacraments, when we encounter them, they aren't magic. They aren't something that just sort of happens without us engaging them in some sort of way. What we need to ask ourselves is, what did we do to prepare for this personal encounter with God today in the Mass? What is it that we did to prepare for this God who is about to give himself to me as food? Think about it. Last Sunday, what did you do? After you received Jesus in Holy Communion, did you just receive him and then walk straight out the door? When you received Holy Communion last week, did you make it back to your seat and then just begin gazing off at the ceiling into the sky? Or were you doing some people watching and just checking out what people are wearing and judging them? What'd you do? Or when you got back to your seat for Holy Communion, did you kneel there and just have that intimate conversation with God, thinking about him, praying about what actually was going on in your soul, saying, God, wow, you're dwelling in me. God, you are physically present in my body. I can feel you right now. And I know that this is the closest I will ever be in my life to you until one day I hope to meet you in heaven. You see, the second reason why I think we don't experience this life transformative power that we're supposed to get in the Mass is because of sin. Because what does sin do? Sin is a block for the grace that God wants to send into our lives. It stops it from penetrating our souls. And brothers and sisters, that's why it's crucial for us that we don't receive Holy Communion when we're not in the state of grace. What does that mean? To not be in the state of grace means that we have committed, or we're living in a state of grave sin or mortal sin. Do you know what mortal sin is? What grave sin is? It's real easy. You're going to be able to remember this when you walk out. It's three things. Mortal sin is, I do something that's gravely disordered. I knew it was, and I did it anyway. That's what grave sin is. That's what mortal sin is. It's something I knew was seriously wrong. I did it anyway. I knew that I was doing it. Those are the three things that qualify for mortal sin. And if we've done anything like that, then what we should do is just sit in the pews during Holy Communion time. Or if we do come up, that we should just cross our arms and ask for a blessing. Because if I'm not disposed to receive Jesus Christ, it has no effect in my life. In fact, what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29, he says this. He says that those who eat and drink without discerning the body and blood of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. So it actually does harm to them. It's another mortal sin. In the very next verse, verse 30, he says this. He says, because people are doing this, receiving Holy Communion unworthily, that's the reason why there are so many people who are spiritually dead among you. Why there are so many people who are falling away from the faith. And I can tell you from experience, every single person that I've ever met in my entire life, And that's a lot. Every single person that I've ever met in my entire life who've left the practice of the faith, including members of my own family, they've left because they've been habitually receiving Holy Communion in an unworthy state for a long time. The more and more they receive Jesus unworthily, the easier it is for them just to walk away from him entirely. What is it that Jesus really wants us to do today? To really engage him? Really to receive this amazing gift that he wants to give us in the Eucharist that we've been meditating on for the past 4 weeks? I'm thinking of three things. Three things that we can do to really engage him. You know, St. Paul says in Ephesians, he says, do not continue in ignorance. There's a lot of us who are continuing in ignorance. St. Paul says, don't continue in ignorance. And so if there are those of us who haven't taken the time to really investigate our faith, to really dig into what happens at Mass, what happens in our faith, the deep truths that we have, if we haven't gone and taken that extra step to understand the stuff that we need to be Catholic, start. Start doing so. Start doing so. Take the time to investigate your faith. You know, right here, I hung up a little image of a book that I really recommend to you because so many people were asking me about it after Mass last night. It's Brant Petrie, Dr. Brant Petrie is an amazing man. He wrote a book called The Jewish Roots of the Mass. It's an amazing book. You'll learn so much about what goes on. It's one of the best explanations of what happens at Mass that I've ever come across in my life. And easy to understand, even if you don't have a high theological tolerance. Just get that book. Begin to engage in these things. To actually understand what happens in Mass so you can appreciate it more and engage it more. The second thing really follows on that. Join RCIA. The Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. We have that class. It's going to start here in a couple weeks. It's not just for people who are missing sacraments or people who want to enter in the faith who aren't Catholic. In fact, it's for people who just want to know their faith better. We just want to engage in the things of the faith. We'll explain. There's so many people who went to it last year who just came sporadically because they wanted to know the faith better and learned so much. In fact, as I told you last year, I myself, right when I was coming into my faith, I really wanted to engage in the RCIA class because I wanted to know my faith even more. That was a year before I entered the seminary. Just to come to learn what God has for us in the faith. And the third thing is something that you and I don't have to wait a couple weeks to do. We can start doing it even today as we're waiting here in the pews. And that's just this. Get ready. Be prepared. Just spend the time that we have left here before we encounter him in Holy Communion, before our Lord is presented for us here in the sacrament. Just to turn to our Lord, to get ready to meet God, to turn to him in prayer and say, Lord God, I know that you prepared today an invitation for me to come and meet you. To come to encounter you, Lord. It's not just a moment that you want me to just talk to you, but you actually want me to get to know you. So that I can receive you into my body through your Eucharistic presence. I don't really get what happens here at Mass. I don't understand it completely, but Lord, help me to understand what happens. Help me to engage in this mystery so that when you fall upon my tongue, when you enter into my flesh, I can receive what you want me to receive. So I can have that life that you talked about. That life which leads unto everlasting life. That remains in me now and will lead me to be with you forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.